With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome to the final episode of the Fantasy Pros NFL Draft Special. I am your host, Thorne Eystrom, and today we're going to blow this thing out by grading the AFC draft classes with my friend and former Roto-World colleague, Evan Silva of Establish the Run. You can find Evan on Twitter, at Evan Silva. Evan, are you ready to rip some draft classes with me?
Thor, I'm ready to do this.
Let's get right into it. Let's start with the Baltimore Ravens. What grade did you give their class, and what did you think about what they did?
I gave them a C+. I included Roquan Smith. Do you include the veteran trade acquisitions in your grades?
I don't, because it gets too complicated for me. I just try to do the picks in the slots.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I include the veteran trade acquisitions. And Roquan Smith was really good for the Ravens down the stretch last year. But, man, they gave him a really big contract, too much for my blood, for an inside linebacker. And he cost them second and fifth round picks. Look, as an entity, I think that the Ravens had an awesome draft weekend, beginning with re-signing Lamar Jackson, supplementing his weapons with Zay Flowers, who I think is going to be their primary slot receiver, and between Odell Beckham and Rashad Bateman. And now they've got Odell Beckham, Rashad Bateman, Mark Andrews, Zay Flowers, Isaiah Likely, Nelson Agholor. I mean, this is the best pass catcher core of Lamar's career. From that point on, you know, they were kind of limited in a weak draft class. Trenton Simpson is like an off-ball linebacker. Tavius Robinson is an intriguing edge rusher. And then, you know, I kind of like how they took the flyer on Andrew Voorhees, who might have been a day two pick had he not torn his ACL at the combine, which, geez, that's horrible luck. But at least he got drafted. So I gave them a C+. But I think on the whole, like, I think it's a fun time to be a Ravens fan, especially all these dudes are going to be under the tutelage of Todd Monken, who I love.
Yeah, so I gave him a B, and you brought up Monken. Obviously, that's a reason why they go out and get Zay Flowers. And, you know, in the past, the Ravens have had maybe one NFL starting caliber receiver, maybe two. Now they got four of them, you could argue, if you consider Agholor that. And so for Todd Monken's air raid system, that was obviously a need. I like the Flowers pick. Trenton Simpson, I was a bit lower on him than the rest of the media. Like, I had him as the fourth linebacker, but getting him at 86, that is objectively a strong value. Like, will the light ever come on for that kid? He's obviously a freak athlete. You can put him different places. He's not like it hasn't all come together for him and coalesced, but if that light goes on, he's going to be a stud. And at that spot, the NFL has mitigated that risk for you. And I agree with the rest of the picks, like what you were saying about that. I like the value they got on Robinson, like the value they got on Kai Blue Kelly. And then they did the Ravens thing, which, you know, they're going to do every year is get the discount on the kid who has fallen just because of the injury, like they did the year before with the Michigan edge rusher. And you almost see it from them every single year. It's just smart. It's the same philosophy as, you know, when they do the trades of like, we'll trade you our fourth rounder that's on the clock right now for a third rounder next year. Taking Andrew Voorhees where they did, it's like, we'll trade a seventh round pick this year for a fourth rounder next year. Like the equivalent of when he comes back of where around where he should have gone. So I like what they gave them a B. Evan, moving to the Buffalo Bills, what was your grade on them?
Buffalo Bills, I gave them a B-. They moved up for Dalton Kincaid, which cost them the number 130 overall pick to only move up a couple spots. But they wanted to make sure they got, because it was like a receiver run before this. And I think that they probably wanted one of the receivers, Zay Flowers, Jordan Addison, maybe even Quentin Johnston. in that range. But they were like, all right, we need to go get the best weapon. Because, I mean, you could tell by the end of their – and in the season last year, like, their offense kind of grew a little bit stale. They needed another weapon. They went and got Dalton Kincaid, jumped the Cowboys, who I think definitely would have taken him at 26. And I think he's going to be the primary slot receiver right away between Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis. And they could even move Dalton Kincaid outside at times and have Diggs move into the slot. And so although I rated Michael Mayer higher than Dalton Kincaid, and I still think that Michael Mayer was the best tight end in this draft, it made a lot of sense for the Bills to go get this weapon. And then Osiris Torrance, I mean, he had legitimate late first round buzz, and to get him at number 59 at a need position, adding that 330-pound guard to compete with Ryan Baker, I think that was a steal. Dorian Williams, I didn't study him, but I mean, I read about him, and he profiles as like the perfect Bills linebacker. He's not particularly big, but he's got really long arms. He's an awesome athlete. I mean, he's got almost 34-inch arms at 6'1", 227. That is like freakish. He ran 4.54 before the draft. He can cover. That's a Bills linebacker. And then Justin Shorter, who I kind of compared to like a poor man's Gabe Davis. I read some really good stuff about Alex Austin, actually, from Greg Cosell. He was shocked that Alex Austin made it to the seventh round.
I was too. Yeah. Alex Austin was really good in college. They had Oregon State had a really fun cornerback room with Rajon Wright on the other side, and they shut some teams. They shut out USC's lights. They were one of the only teams that got the better on USC's offense. I love the Dalton Kincaid pick. You know, like I agree with those takes of like Josh Allen's found his Travis Kelce. I think Dalton Kincaid's going to finish number two in targets for the Bills next year. And you know, like right behind Diggs, obviously. You mentioned Osiris Torrance, where some people were mocking Osiris Torrance to the Bills in the first round. There was those whispers about medical stuff. I actually don't know what that's all about, because he actually didn't suffer that many injuries in college. He had the MCL sprain, but that's a pretty common injury for, you know, like for any football player, especially for an interior guy. So I was kind of surprised by that, but, you know, I guess that's what led to him fall down. But that's a great value pick. Obviously, he was 26 on my board. I totally agree with you on Dorian Williams. He was one of my favorites in this class. He's just one of those like little linebackers that zips around. The long arms play, both with the tackling radius, also disrupting the throwing windows, was awesome in coverage. My comp for Justin Shorter, funny enough, it, sort of a derisive one. I should apologize in advance, but it was Equanimeous St. Brown. We'll see what they get there. They obviously wanted a boundary receiver. This class is a bit short on them, but totally agree with you. Alex Austin was a really good value pick for them at the end as well. Moving on to the Cincinnati Bengals, Evan, what'd you think about what they did?
Gave them a B+. I really liked their draft. You know, edge rusher was not necessarily a need for them. They've got Trey Hendrickson, Sam Hubbard, Joseph Asai. But at number 28, I mean, it's just, you know, I had Miles Murphy ranked as high or mocked as high as number 16 to the Commanders. And to get him at number 28, I mean, it seems clear to me that he was just clearly the highest rated dude on their board. And I'm fine with that. I totally subscribe to the mantra that you can never have too many pass rushers. And then they came back and knocked out two needs, DJ Turner, who can absolutely fly, cornerback Michigan, and Jordan Battle, Alabama safety. I mean, that dude started in Nick Saban's secondary for 4 years. And he's like, they need a dude who can come in and can play, because they lost both of their starting safeties in free agency. Jordan Battle sounds like a guy who could definitely do that. I thought that the pick of Charlie Jones was intriguing from the standpoint that dude can absolutely fly. And T. Higgins is in a contract year. It's going to cost them a lot of money to lock him up. They might have to let him walk, because, I mean, they got to pay a bunch of other dudes too, including Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase eventually. And then Chase Brown, really good player. I think everybody was shocked when he ran 4.41 at the combine. But, I mean, he's a good player. And it made a lot of sense for them to add a back, because Samaje Perine left in free agency and Joe Mixon has some off-field stuff going on. And he also, he costs a lot of money. So I really liked their draft. It was one of my favorite drafts in the conference.
For sure. Yeah, I gave them an A-. I agree with you. I like the value that they got on Miles Murphy. Jordan Battle was a really good safety at Alabama. It's just he sort of got overshadowed by Brian Branch. But yeah, getting him there was great. Charlie Jones went off at Purdue last year. And I think Charlie Jones is going to be a fabulous NFL slot. So yeah, I mean, like, you know, you'd think forward at the Bengals and, like, you know, the guys that could leave, whatnot. I think that was a really good pick for the future. And speaking of that, Andre Yoshivas from Princeton, just the freak physical athlete. And you see if you can teach him the receiving stuff. His ball skills need a little bit of work and stuff like that. But he's an intriguing ball of clay, and you don't need him to play right away. So I like that stab as well with the Bengals. Moving on to the Cleveland Browns, Evan, what do you think about what they did?
So, again, I include veteran trade acquisitions. And Deshaun Watson so far, I mean, he was terrible in six starts last year. And I think he was a questionable decision to acquire him in the first place. So I heavily penalized them for that. So like I gave him a C-. I think that they did a pretty good job with what they had remaining, though. They traded down. Before the draft, they acquired Elijah Moore for a pick swap, which, I mean, that's just a steal. Like, pick swaps are absolutely the way to go. And, you know, they didn't even lose a pick. I mean, they moved down, but, I mean, they still have their pick. And they wound up turning the number 42 overall pick into Elijah Moore and Cedric Tillman. I like that. The Ika guy from Baylor, huge dude for the middle of their defense. I compare him to Danny Shelton. You know, probably not going to rush the passer, but he's a body that, you know, he's going to rotate in, and you play him on running downs and all that. And then DeJuan Jones, who, I mean, he is just an absolute behemoth. You know, I see you smiling, Thor. Like, I think the comparison is to Trent Brown, he's bounced around a little bit, but I mean, he's had a really nice career. And DeJuan Jones, I mean, I think that's a good comparison. And then I like the pick of Dorian Thompson-Robinson. I had some people asking me before the draft, why was Dorian Thompson-Robinson not rated higher? And I, you know, you're more of a college football expert than I am. Why was he not rated higher?
I think it's just his pocket game, right? Like, he's a good athlete, good runner, and he has requisite arm strength for, you know, his frame, but it's just the pocket game, reading the defenses, getting the ball out accurately on time and in rhythm. That was my only question with him, but that kid's a leader. He's like a go down on the sword kind of leader. The USC game, they almost, like, after that game, they lost it at the very end. They almost had to take him off like Kellen Winslow back in the day because he was so tired or whatever. But yeah, I like that dice roll of them too on the developmental guy. And as far as the Browns class overall, I gave it an A-, just judging that ball where it lies. But like Evan's totally right. Like, if you bake in the Watson trade, I would heavily ding them for that. But just as far as the picks that they made in the slots they did, hard to argue with them. Tillman, really good value there. Like, he was 56th on my board in a receiving class where there's a dearth of boundary guys. Like, Cedric Tillman can start on the boundary for a long time in the NFL. I thought he was a better player and a better prospect than his teammate Hyatt. Ika, you know, you talk about a dearth of a thing in a draft. Like, this class only had a couple, like, of those inside space eaters for nose tackle in the NFL. He was obviously at the top of the list. Getting him at 98 was good value there. And the reason I was smiling when you were talking about DeJuan Jones is I was trying to think, has there ever in NFL history been two consecutive picks by a team that weighed more when you go Ika and then DeJuan Jones? You're talking over 700 pounds of beef there. I'm not sure if any team's ever done a two stuff like that. So just the mass of humanity.
We're getting up close to 800 pounds.
We are. Well, especially if you weigh DeJuan Jones now, because that's why some teams are out on him. They thought, you know, he skipped the pre-draft process so he could just start eating. But like, yeah, Isaiah McGuire from Missouri too, I thought was a steal at 126. He's this power edge. He's awesome at setting the edge. But like, people were wondering what kind of an athlete he is. And then he goes out and he tests like a sick athlete during the pre-draft process. But it's almost like none of the NFL had baked that in. And he was just available where he would have been anyway. So, like, I thought that was a really good value pick. All right, Evan, on to the Denver Broncos, a team that had less equity. They're one of these teams that didn't have the first-round pick. What did you think about the five selections they ended up making?
Yeah, so I included Russell Wilson in this, and it's an F, you know. I mean, because Russell Wilson was absolutely terrible. I don't even know if Sean Payton's in on him at this point. He's going to have to be this year. I didn't like the move up for Marvin Mims at all. The Broncos just exercised Jerry Jeudy's fifth-year And they did not find a trade partner for Courtland Sutton. And they have Tim Patrick coming back. And they have KJ Hamler coming back. And then you go trade up for Marvin Mims. I don't get it. They traded up for Riley Moss. I think Riley Moss is a really good prospect. But again, another trade up. I love the value that they got on Drew Sanders. I was very surprised. You saw Jack Campbell go at 18. Drew Sanders lasts all the way to number 67. Had a lot better production than Jack Campbell, especially as a blitzer. I think he had 10 sacks last year. And I think when you look at it through that lens, in that context, they got a really, really good deal on Drew Sanders. But, you know, Russell Wilson and Marvin Mims, I think, really hurt him here. I don't get it with Marvin Mims. I don't know what Sean Payton was thinking there.
Yeah, so if I baked the Russell Wilson trade in, my grade would have been way lower. But just with the slots, I had the Broncos at a B in terms of the value and the guys that they got in those slots. I'm higher on Marvin Mims than you. I had him wide receiver 5. They will have to see, like, how does that shake out with the guys that they have coming back. But Marvin Mims is a threat to one of their jobs for sure. The context of his situation the last couple of years was tough at Oklahoma, but all-time leader.
They may still try to trade Courtland Sutton. I mean, yeah, because that would be the role that Marvin Mims would play, correct?
Correct. Yeah. I mean, you can play him inside and outside, but yeah, okay. He's a proven downfield killer on the outside, despite his size at Oklahoma. So yeah, I mean, you could do whatever you want there. Put him in the slot, put him outside. Some people thought he was relegated to the slot, but I mean, mostly he played outside at Oklahoma, and 35% or more of his targets all three seasons were 20 plus yards downfield. So he can do different stuff like that. I agree with you on Drew Sanders. You know, he was my linebacker too. I did have him behind Jack Campbell, but how far he fell was a bit of a surprise. They're going to have to decide, are we only going to play him at off-ball linebacker? Are we also going to play him on the edge? He'd obviously gone to Alabama as a 5-star recruit as an edge rusher and got stuck behind Will Anderson and all of that ridiculous edge rushing depth chart that they had at Alabama. He goes to Arkansas last year, playing off-ball, doing some edge rushing and stuff like that, and he blew up. Best blitzing linebacker in the class for sure. Like that value. Love the value on Riley Moss. Yeah, like, you know, for me, Riley Moss could have been talked about in a higher light based on his athletic profile and his career, but they end up getting him in round 3. Thought that was a really good value as well. Evan, moving to the Houston Texans, a team that was all over the place. And, like, you know, it's like one of the, like a defender who's always around the ball and the announcers are calling out their name. The Houston Texans, they were constantly calling out their name because they made a million trades, starting with the first one where they get up to 3. Obviously, that was the real fireworks show. What did you think about overall what they did this weekend?
Well, first of all, I liked it before the draft. They got Shaq Mason from Tampa Bay for an absolute song. And he's going to be a solid starting guard for them. So they got a little bit of an upgrade there. I think that they paid too much for Will Anderson. But, you know, they at the end of the day, like, they came out of the draft with the number 2 rated quarterback and the number 1 pass rusher in the draft. So I really like the Juice Scruggs pick. I know people said that he went too early, but, I mean, I think he's going to be a starting guard for them. And then I think that Jarrett Patterson from Notre Dame could end up being their starting center. Notre Dame dudes, they get dudes blocked and he's a technician. And I mean, I think that he could be a starter for them. And they got Jarrett Patterson in the 6th round. Tioto, you know, I understand that there's like maybe some physical limitations there, but you take him in the 5th round, he's your number 4 linebacker and plays special teams. And, you know, he's going to play with his hair on fire anytime that he gets an opportunity. Tank Dell, I know that he's 165 pounds. They compare him internally to Marquise Brown. And he's going to play on the outside with John Mechie in the slot and Nico Collins on the other side. You know, they still got some work to do. Went to, you know, building up the pass catcher core. They did sign Dalton Schultz. But, I mean, I like the players that they drafted. I wound up giving them a B. And the only reason that they didn't get an A was because they gave up so much for Will Anderson.
Yeah, so I gave him a C. I did, you know, that trade, you have to factor that in just a little bit because you send out your first rounder next year, which if the Houston Texans stink next year and then it's the class with Caleb Williams and Drake May, obviously you're not going to take a quarterback, but you could trade that pick for a metric ton. That's a risk unless they get better, of course, you know, and the pick's worth less. I agreed with your take on the Will Anderson trade. It felt like they had decided in advance, we're coming out of this thing with Will Anderson. And then there was the debate about CJ Stroud or whatever. And they were like, oh, I think we can thread the needle moving up and getting the 3 pick. But yeah, like when you're just thinking about that for a trade up for a pass rusher, they paid a hefty price. And I heard before the draft, like, you know, it was reported out there that Arizona had gotten calls for 6-7 teams, whatnot. Arizona was asking for the world. It, like, with all those teams, and Houston was the one that ended up paying the piper. You can't argue with the two guys that they got, but obviously it's a risk depending on how they do next year. I love Tank Dell. I love the Tank Dell pick. In some ways, I was surprised he goes top 70 just because the NFL usually shies away from guys like that. But it's funny, their comp for him internally, that's my comp for him, was Hollywood Brown. The context you gave, I actually hadn't heard that before. That, you know, like, I just hadn't seen that they were intending to play Tank Dell on the outside. That was one of my questions with this class is, for me, Metchie's a slot. And then the guy they get later, Xavier Hutchinson, he's like a big slot that you manufacture touches for. And I was under the assumption an NFL team taking Dell would also view him as a slot guy just because of the size. But he destroyed everyone he played in college on the outside. Like, he can do it in the slot too, but like, all comers, Tank Dell destroyed them. You know, the Power Five teams they played, Tank cooked them. They played Cincinnati's playoff year where they had Sauce Gardner. They had Kobe Bryant on the other side. They had the two NFL safeties behind them. He cooked them too. Then he goes to the Senior Bowl. Nobody could cover him one-on-one. Nobody could. The only question is on the Tuesday of the Senior Bowl, and this is the question about Tank Dell's evaluation, especially you put him on the outside. Julius Brents was sticking him off the line. It was hard for Tank to get off the line. But if Tank gets off the line, you ain't covering him in space. Nobody can. He just moves too well. So I thought that was really interesting and interesting way that they're going to use him. But overall, you know, solid, just risky. But we'll see how it plays out this year. But I thought they did an okay job. We're going to move to a team that in their division that I thought did a way better job. I thought this team had one of the best weekends of any team in the NFL. The Indianapolis Colts. What did you think, Evan?
Yeah, I gave him an A-. And I... You know, I'm like a tough grader relative to the other graders, you know.
Yeah.
Chad in particular. he's such a nice guy, you know.
I love Chad.
I'm talking about Chad Reuter from
NFL.com. You and me, just for everybody out there, there's this guy in Germany named Rene Bugner, I don't think he did it this year, but every year he puts out like all the grades, you know.
You're
like,
talking about on Football Outsiders.
Oh, did he really?
It just came out today. Yeah. I just read it and you were the toughest grader and I was the second toughest.
You and me are always on the right side. I know. It's like, yeah, we always meet up there every single year because we're on the other side of it. But yeah,
you gave like funny. Four F's or something.
I like giving out the S. I mean, some teams deserve it.
Right.
But not the Indianapolis Colts. They were one of my either two or three A pluses I gave up.
Yeah. And you know, it's early for Anthony Richardson at number four. Okay. I actually thought that he might slide in the draft. He did not. And I think the Colts did a great job of not letting it out that they wanted him. And I think he almost certainly would have gone number five to the Seahawks if they hadn't taken him at number four. So it's not too early. It's not a reach. And I love that they can pair him with Shane Steichen, who coached Jalen Hurts for the past 2 years. You know, Jalen Hurts came out a little bit raw, but man, that dude gets better every single year. And it's just the perfect marriage. It's the perfect marriage. So I love that pick. I understand that Richardson has, you know, he's a boom bust player, but the situation that they're putting him in, I love. And they're going to run the piss out of the ball with him and Jonathan Taylor. And it's going to be fun behind Quentin Nelson. Julius Brents, I think, is the 6'3" beanstalk. You know, Gus Bradley from that Seattle background is going to love that dude. Josh Downs, I think, you know, add some speed at a needy position for them. Blake Freeland, you know, I haven't seen him play, but man, I read a ton about him. And I mean, it sounds to me like he could actually be their left tackle sooner rather than later. They had a lot of problems last year at left tackle. Bernard Raymond is the dude that they have it penciled in right now. At left tackle, I think Blake Freeland, from an athleticism and length standpoint, could do that. The defensive tackle they got from Northwestern, Adebowore, he ran 4.5 flat at 6'2", 283. What on earth is that? Darius Rush, I thought, some people thought that he was better than, was it Cam Smith?
Cam Smith, yep.
At South Carolina, and they stole him in the fifth round. Evan Hull, our boy.
Yeah,
and then Jake Witt, I think, is really interesting out of Northern Michigan. That dude, they got so much more athletic. Chris Ballard has always kind of, you know, he's from that KC background, and they emphasize, you know, they use like spark. I mean, they're more advanced than that, but they use like athleticism, you know, advanced metrics for to grade athleticism. I mean, this team had by far the most athletic draft of any team, and they needed it. I mean, the Colts need replenishment on their roster. They need a quarterback, and they got all that.
They sure did. Yeah, they had, I think they got six prospects that I had in my top 75 with their first six picks. It was just like one after the other. I couldn't believe Adebowale. Like, I thought he had a shot to go at the end of round one just with that athletic profile of his. And for sure, he was going on day two. And then somehow he falls through the cracks. Obviously, that was a steal. You mentioned Darius Rush is another steal. It was just like, you know, down the board. And then they get my favorite offensive sleeper, Evan Hall, at 176. I like the Richardson pick. I really like the Julius Brents pick. Josh Jones is going to come in right away and be a target hound in the slot. Like, the only nitpick on him is he can't play on the outside, but he has proven the concept in the slot. You can pound him with targets. He can catch the ball around traffic, everything like that. Keep the concentration. I really like Freeland as well. I was wondering Freeland, like, what, you know, the right guard isn't quite as good. I forget the name of the guy, but like, would they consider, if Freeland went in and surprised in camp, would they consider kicking Braden Smith to guard? And then you have this nasty interior. But that's really interesting what you're saying, you know, as far as Raymond and stuff like that. Raymond, as you'll recall, he had the medical questions coming out as well. So probably good to get insurance for him either way. Like, Blake Freeland will be the swing tackle, if nothing else, and provide that depth in year one. But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he gets on the field right away. So A+ for me for the Indianapolis Colts. Let's hit the next team in that division, the Jacksonville Jaguars. What'd you think about them?
So I usually like the approach of trading down, stockpiling more picks. I just didn't think that this was the year to do it because the draft class was pretty weak. And I don't know, some people said that it was deep, but I don't know. I mean, they wound up making 10 day three picks in what is considered a weak draft class. So I dinged them pretty heavily for that. I didn't like the Rams did that too, by the way. And the Rams, just their roster has just completely crumbled. So I kind of get it, but they're going to end up with a bunch of duds. And I think that the Jaguars might too. Did the Jaguars really, I mean, did they really need to do that? I don't think that they needed to do that. They did need to draft an offensive tackle due to Cam Robinson's PED suspension. They're going to move Walker Little, their right tackle, to left tackle. And they're going to start Anton Harrison at right tackle next to Brandon Scherff, who's made multiple Pro Bowls, you know, longtime veteran. I like their plan. They have a plan in place for that. And I liked Anton Harrison. I thought that the NFL was higher on him than the media. And I think that him going at number 27 kind of proved me correct. Brenton Strange, see, he was kind of at the end of the tight end run. And I don't know. I mean, I think he's an okay pick, but he went earlier than I expected for a guy who really didn't have a whole lot of production. I know he's a pretty good athlete. I know he can block, but, you know, I didn't love that pick. Tank Bigsby, I guess he's going to be the number two behind Travis Etienne, third-round pick on RB, you know, and then, I mean, I don't know. And then they just drafted a bunch of late-round dudes, so I gave him a C+.
I gave them a C-. I was okay with the Harrison pick, especially contextually, right? Because like you're mentioning, he had the three tackles above him, and then it's Harrison, and then we know that thing's about to drop off the shelf, the tackle class, especially if you don't like a guy like DeJuan Jones, and he ended up falling down. So I can't blame them for that. But yeah, I thought Brenton Strange was, I'm trying not to go with the pun, but I can't avoid it, was a strange pick in round two. You're totally right. They got caught on the wrong end of that tight end run, but we all knew the tight end run was coming in round two. So if you want one of those premium guys before the thing dries out, you ought to have traded up. And even in the slot they were in, I didn't understand why they didn't take Tucker Kraft, who to me is a superior prospect to Brenton Strange. I don't mind Brenton Strange, like, but I had him 149 on my board. Like, he's more sought off. He does have the versatility, you know, like that he can play in line. You can put him in the backfield. You can shift him around, do different stuff like that. And he does have the athletic profile, whatnot. But yeah, we haven't seen the full concept proven with him. And even if he hits his ceiling, is he going to be as good as some of those other tight ends that went right before him or even went after him, like a guy like Tucker Kraft? I don't think so. I like the Bigsby pick. I suppose that they're going to give him the meat and potatoes work and let ETN try to hit home runs. I'm cool with that. Like, Bigsby was in a really bad situation at Auburn there at the end. Terrible offensive lines. The quarterback couldn't throw, so teams would just, you know, sort of zero in on him. The day three pick that they made that I liked, I didn't like a lot of them. I'll say that out the jump. But I did like stealing Antonio Johnson from A&M. It wasn't a very deep safety class, and so to get him back at 160, I like that one. He is confined to the nickel. Maybe that's why the NFL sort of shied off of him. And he did regress a little bit last year. Like, he was really good as a true sophomore. And maybe after he regressed just a bit, maybe he should have gone back to A&M for a year in hindsight. But, like, getting that kid, he's young. He is very aggressive. He loves coming up and hitting and helping with the run, stuff like that. And he'll jar the running back. The coverage stuff, you got to work on him with a little bit. That was the area of his game that regressed. But getting him there, I thought, was a good value pick. But, yeah, a lot of those other ones they were doing on day three, it was like they were all over the place going off the grid. So I wasn't too sure about that. But that's why I ended up giving the Jaguars a C-. Now, a team – Evan, I'm going to be curious with what your take is on this. You know, every year when I do the draft grades, the Chiefs are a team that are consistently dang near the top. Like, they just have this ethos of grabbing the value, stuff like that. I don't know what they were doing this year. It was not that at all for me. I'll wait to give my grade for a second, but what did you think about what the Chiefs were doing?
Yeah, so I gave them a B-, which is actually a pretty decent grade in my grading system. Enudike Uzomah, Felix Enudike Uzomah from Kansas State, edge rusher. I think he's going to make a lot of plays as a pass rusher. He went a little bit earlier than I expected. I didn't think he was going to go in the first round. Compare him to Yannick Ngakoue, who, I mean, you know, he's not going to help you on running downs, but he can absolutely get after the passer, and they need that. Frank Clark is not coming back. Rashee Rice, who they traded up for. See, I'm a little bit biased because I'm a fantasy guy, and I'm super excited for Rashee Rice in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes. Now, we've said that before about Mecole Hardman and Sky Moore and even Carlton Powell one year had some hype, you know. But I think that Rashee Rice, especially after hearing about how Patrick Mahomes, like, worked out with him before the draft and fell in love with him, and he was, like, driving that pick. And, I mean, again, they traded up. They wanted to go get that dude. You look at his production, his size, his athleticism. That combination is the best of any wide receiver in the draft. I mean, I know that Jaxon Smith-Njigba was the first wide receiver drafted, but, I mean, he barely played last year. Rashee Rice went nuts last year, and he actually has size in a wide receiver class that is just full of a bunch of midgets. I'm really excited about Rashee Rice in Kansas City. And then Wanya Morris, I think he's going to come in and probably compete with Lucas Niang at right tackle. That was somewhat of a need. And then Shamari Connor. You know, the people on the broadcast seem to like him. Daniel Jeremiah had some nice things to say about him. So, I think they did fine.
So the Chiefs come in, you have the clearly delineated needs, right? Like, they were one of those teams that was pretty clean. It was the edge rusher, wide receiver, and offensive tackle. They end up knocking those out with the first three picks. I thought they did reach a little bit for Felix, the Kansas State kid at the top, just based on who was there, like Keon White and different guys like that ended up going in the second round. It's hard to blame them. Like, Felix was number 40 on my list. They took him 31. That's fine. And obviously they have more exposure to him, right? Like, the kid played at the Little Apple. You know, it's like 2 hours away from Kansas City, whatnot. Plenty of exposure to him. Rashee Rice, I really struggle with this process. Like, I came in a lot higher on him. I didn't mind what he did down at the Senior Bowl and the athleticism. He proved that. The production been there. But there was these whispers that some teams didn't like his off the field or his attitude or projecting his work ethic going forward. So I ended up knocking him down just a little bit just based on that stuff. Obviously, we don't have access to some of that different stuff, but the Chiefs end up taking him right around where I would have had him initially. The talent is all there. He has won both inside and outside at SMU and in all three sectors of the field. Especially what I like about him is the ability to go downfield and get it. He's only, you know, a shade under 6'1", but his wingspan is more like a guy like 6'5", and he can get up in the air, and he has a real knack for that. I also like the Wanya Morris pick where they did, because that was literally at the demarcation point for where the tackle class is literally about to just drop off the Grand Canyon. So I was fine with that. But the day three picks, I thought they were all over the place. I was lower on Connor than some of those other guys. I was lower on BJ Thompson. I think they grabbed Colburn because they wanted one of those space eaters, and that was about to, the tap was about dry on that, but that felt like a little bit pulling him up. So that's, I ended up giving the Chiefs a D minus just because in the slots that they were picking in, I just didn't see the value over the, seven different picks they ended up making. Evan, before we get to the rest of the AFC grades, wanted to mention the Dynasty Draft Kit at fantasypros.com/dynasty. You'll get Dynasty Startup and Rookie Rankings, Trade Targets, Position Primers, and in-depth rookie analysts for free. Premium subscribers can view exclusive strategy articles and enter our vibrant Discord community, which provides direct access to analysts through AMAs and stages. Don't miss out. Visit fantasypros.com/dynasty today and build your winning dynasty team. Evan, the Los Angeles Raiders, always an interesting team during draft weekend. What'd you think about what they did?
Yeah, I like their draft. I gave them a B minus. Considering the fact that Tyree Wilson was mocked as early as number two, I think that they got something of a steal in him at number seven. I know he had some medical concerns, but I don't know. The reporting on that, it sounded more upbeat than not. And obviously, they cleared him because they took him at number seven overall. I love that they traded up for Michael Mayer. Michael Mayer is like my favorite player in the draft. And I think it's fine that they gave up a fifth round pick to go get him. They were at the forefront really of the tight end run. And they wound up getting, in my opinion, the best tight end in the draft. And then Byron Young played 3-4 defensive end at Alabama. He'll be sort of an inside outside player for them. And then Trey Tucker, another small blazer. There were a million of those dudes. In this draft. And then Ja'Corian Bennett was really interesting because of what he did at the combine at a pretty good size, the cornerback out of Maryland. And then, you know, a bunch of late round dudes, Aiden O'Connell. I don't know. I mean, if anything's going to come of him, sounds to me like a poor man's Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, I ended up giving the Raiders a B minus. I had heard before the draft that the Raiders loved Anthony Richardson, but I think you check in on that price point and what the Houston ended up giving, and they just decided it was too rich for their blood. Stay in the slot, take Tyree Wilson. That's totally fine. That's solid value. You know, like he was seven on my board. He ends up going number seven. Obviously, a position of need. Totally agree with you on Michael Mayer. That was a steal there. Michael Mayer only didn't go in the first round because of the depth of the tight end class. We've seen this manifest both of the tight ends and the cornerbacks, where the NFL, like any guy in those two position groups that was not named Evan Witherspoon that had a first round grade, you know, like by the industry, whatever, they had their price points artificially deflated because a lot of these teams coming on the board, they defer to another position in need as opposed to taking one of them because they knew in day two they could grab a guy at one of those two positions that would be a starter. That's why Michael Mayer ends up dropping to 35. Raiders seize the moment. Love the context he gave there about how you get in front of that tight end run. You know that tight end run is coming. Detroit takes LaPorta there. You go up and you get Mayer. That's awesome. And then the tight ends were going boom, 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 boom. Jacksonville, we just talked about, was an example of a team that got in on the wrong end of that and then just reach up for somebody. So I love the aggression there. There was some wonky picks here. Like Trey Tucker, I felt like they way grabbed up for him based on the other receivers on the board. But then they also had some solid value picks. Christopher Smith of Georgia, he was mocked to go top 50, like early, you know, like right coming out of the regular season. Doesn't test very well athletically, but you can just bring him in and see at 170 there. You haven't given up much there. So I thought they did a solid job this week, and I gave the Raiders a B minus. Let's hit another team in that division, Evan, the Los Angeles Chargers. What'd you think about their draft?
You know, I think that they do solid pretty much every year. They never make any moves up or down the board. They just sit and pick. And I think that Tom Telesco, for the most part, and he's had some whiffs, but I think that he does a pretty good job. And I think that they did a good job here. I mean, Quentin Johnston, I had him 14-1 to be the first wide receiver drafted.
Oh,
and he went one spot behind. Yeah. So
behind JSN. Yeah. Like, yeah. And get in on that run, right? When it went four receivers in a row.
And Tom Telesco, like, famously loves big wide receivers. This dude's a rack monster, 6'3", 210. He starts opposite Mike Williams, Keenan Allen in the slot. I mean, they needed another weapon badly. I understand there are some physical limitations with the USC edge, Tui Tuapilotu, but, you know, the production is hard to argue with. He led Division I in sacks this past year. I'm comparing him to Melvin Ingram, who the Chargers drafted a long time ago. But he's built like an edge, but he can win from the inside. Dan Henley, they needed inside linebacker help because they just declined Kenneth Murray's fifth-year option. And then I like the pick of Jarius Davis in the fourth round. That dude was a machine in the return game. And they needed some speed, like, in their number four receiver slot. Josh Palmer's a pretty good number four receiver, but it was just clear last season, really the entire year, that they were one of the slowest offenses in the NFL. And I think that he might be able to help them a little bit as a situational player. Yeah, I think they had a solid draft.
I did too. I gave the Chargers a C+. I like the Johnson pick. Johnson was my wide receiver one. It's funny, I had him 21 on my board. They ended up taking him 21. It was weird the NFL didn't invite Quentin Johnson to the draft. Quentin Johnson, he had like told people like it was his dream to attend the draft. He picked out the suit, picked out the cologne. Then the NFL doesn't invite him for some reason. And then he goes 21. And then there was, you know, multiple guys in the green room didn't get picked at all. Levis, Keon White, et cetera. So I thought that whole thing was weird, but he ended up going right around where I thought he should. And to your point, perfect fit there. And that receiving core is now dangerous. Really like the Deion Henley pick too. It was funny as the draft went along that the Chargers just kept taking guys on the TCU offense. You mentioned QJ and Darius Davis. Then they decide, well, we already got most of the passing game. Let's just bring in Max Duggan at the end. So I just thought that was funny, the leaning into that TCU offense. But solid weekend for the Chargers, gave them a C+. Evan, what do you think about what the Patriots did moving on?
I think we just skipped past the Dolphins.
Oh, do we? I might have put him in the... Let's do the Dolphins. What did you think about the Dolphins?
Okay, yeah, Dolphins. I gave him a C+. See, this is where, like, you have to include Bradley Chubb, Jalen Ramsey, and Jeff Wilson, and I'm not crediting them anymore for Tyreek Hill. They got credit last year, but, I mean, they gave the number 29 pick for Bradley Chubb. They gave a fifth-rounder for Jeff Wilson. They stole Jalen Ramsey for a third-round pick, you know, and that's, I mean, that's their draft. But, I mean, I think that Cam Smith was worth it just based on talent at number 51 overall. And then Achane, oh, man, I'm going to be so high above ADP on him in my fantasy rankings. Like, no one is going to beat me on where I have him because I'm so excited about him in the Mike McDaniel offense. First of all, he knows how to scheme the ball to playmakers. You were on our show when we were talking about who was it that made the comparison to Jahvid Best? Was that Dane Brugler?
That's my comp for him as
that's your comp for him as well.
Yeah.
God, I love Jahvid Best. The late, great Chris Wessling, I remember, just wrote this one article about Jahvid Best. That it was just like, it was like a love letter to Jahvid Best. And it got me so pumped. And he was right. It's just Jahvid Best kept getting like concussions. But man, that was a fun dude to watch. And I think Achane is going to be so fun to watch in the Mike McDaniel offense.
Yeah, the McDaniel, and coming from the Shanahan tree, those are the running backs they love. So it wasn't a surprise at all that the Dolphins got him, and at a solid price point, right? Like, you know, I'd Achane RB5 and ranked 70th on my big board. I thought that was pretty reasonable. He ends up going 84. Obviously, some, you know, like, you have to mitigate his touches a little bit because he's on the smaller side or whatever, but absolutely perfect landing spot. McDaniel knows exactly how to use him. He will mitigate those touches for him and just put him into the best situations where that kid can do what he does, which is just try to erase angles with that speed and hit home runs. And then the Cam Smith pick, I just love the value. So they only made the four picks, but judging where they got the guys in the slot, I ended up giving the Dolphins a B. Now we can move on to the Patriots. Evan, what'd you think about their weekend?
I love the way that they started off. I mean, moving down, getting a little bit of extra, they got a surplus fourth round pick and still getting Christian Gonzalez, who I don't think it would have been crazy to consider him the number one cornerback in the draft. And they get him at number 17. I mean, that was maybe the biggest steal of the first round. And then Keon White, I don't think anybody would have been surprised if he went in the top 25 and they got him at 46. I thought that was an absolute steal. Marte Mapu was a guy I know out of Sacramento State that I think people fell in love, like scouts fell in love with, watching him in the All-Star games. And he's really interesting. 6'3", 221, linebacker safety hybrid. I looked at his production in FCS. I mean, he had like cornerback sort of production. But then he tore his pec in February. So I think that they wound up getting a potential steal there. I think that he'll probably be ready early in the season. And then they took a bunch of mid-round offensive linemen, Jake Andrews, City So, Antonio Mafi. And I bet they get one starter out of those three, and maybe they'll get two. But then they drafted a kicker and a punter. Like, I shouldn't be surprised. This is a team that has drafted long snappers before. So I shouldn't be surprised, but I kind of dinged them for that. Wound up giving them a B minus, but absolutely love those first two and probably three picks.
Yeah, I gave the Patriots a B plus and agree with you. Like, the value on the first two picks was insane. Getting Gonzalez at 17, Keon White at 46. And it's not just us that expected Keon White to go higher. The NFL did too. It's the reason they invited him into the green room. So the NFL itself didn't expect him to fall to 46. Very good value there. And then the Patriots, yeah, they did Patriot things on day three. I love the City Cell pick. He was my favorite offensive line sleeper. They even took him a bit above where I had him ranked, and I had him ranked very aggressively. Like, I had him 140 on my board. They took him 112. But last year, I was super bullish on Cole Strange. They pulled him up. Like, I mean, like, you know, the offensive line thing, they have their type, and they get aggressive for those guys. And I think City Cell is going to be the guy of that is able to get on the field quick. You just have to polish his pass pro, like some of the technique things, but he's a road grader in the run game. He's in this enormous frame, and he's a physical freak, you know, as far as the athletic testing goes. So I like that. Very interesting dart throw on Kayshon Boutte at the pick 187. We knew a team was going to take a shot on Boutte, trying to turn it around, turn back the clock to earlier in his college career. Was very interesting that it was the Patriots. I hope that Belichick and crew can get through to that kid because he has plenty of talent. Hopefully he's kicked that ankle injury that he was carrying around at the end. And hopefully the headspace he was in last season at LSU where he was checked out, they can get him centered and right going forward, because that could end up being a steal if so. But if not, you didn't pay much, so you can just move on. Evan, the New York Jets next. What did you think about what they did?
Give them an A. But that's primarily because they acquired Aaron Rodgers. And there was some notion out there that they paid too much for Aaron Rodgers. No, they did not pay too much for Aaron Rodgers. And then they got two first-round talents to start off their draft. I was thinking that Will McDonald is valued more by the NFL than he is by media. And I think that that was correct. I don't buy that they would have taken Jahmyr Gibbs at number 15. That came out, but that could be just the Lions trying to spread that or something. I thought Will McDonald was an awesome, awesome pick. Great athlete, edge bender. Great pick. And then Joe Tippmann at number 43. I think in my first mock, I had him in the first round to the Jaguars, I want to say, at number 24. He winds up going 43. He's going to start right away. You're helping Aaron Rodgers, setting him up for success. You've already got some serious, serious weaponry, and your offensive line is getting better. And then Carter Warren, I thought, was very worthy of that pick for your starter at Pitt. The dimensions are there, 6'6", 314, nearly 36-inch arms. But he got hurt last year, so I think they got a little bit of a discount on him. And then Abani Kanda, the Pittsburgh RB. I remember watching. I'm not huge into college football, but I mean, you know, I watch college football. I just don't know everything about it. That dude would always pop up with a highlight, like every Saturday, because he's a home run hitter. I compared him to Tevin Coleman. Yeah, so I gave him an A. Oh, and I love the Zach Kuntz steal at number 220 overall, seventh round pick. You know, went to Penn State, so he had that like recruiting pedigree. I know he got buried behind some other really good dudes, including Pat Freiermuth, but he was very productive. And then he had the highest or the top composite athleticism score of any tight end at the combine. I wouldn't have been surprised if he went in the fourth round. They got him in the seventh.
I agree with that one. Yeah. And he had it like in any combine, like he has the perfect 10 RAS, and Zach Kuntz didn't duck any of the tests. He definitely would have gone higher if he just hadn't gotten injured last year, right? Like his circumstances went against him coming out of high school, because he goes to Penn State. He gets stuck behind Freiermuth. Then he transfers to Old Dominion. Old Dominion cancels the season during COVID. And then, you know, the 2021, that's when he blew up. And he was starting to blow up this past season as well, but then he gets that season-ending injury. So you really only had that 1 year on him. That's why he ends up falling down, but obviously a physical freak, and he has receiving skill too. That was an objective steal. I was a little bit lower on the Jets class just because I agree with you on Will McDonald. I think he's a good player. He's obviously juiced up. He has those long levers. He was dominant in the Big 12, et cetera. But just contextually, you know, guys like Miles Murphy and a couple of those other, we mentioned Keon White, guys like that, going 28. Nolan Smith goes 30. So could you have moved down a little bit? Maybe that's a bit nitpicky. I do love them getting Joe Tippmann. He's going to go in and start right away. Some of the other picks on day three, I was a little bit lower on. So I ended up giving the Jets a D plus. Maybe it was a little bit aggressive with them, but the rest of the picks, I just thought maybe in the slots, I could have done just a little bit better of a job. But moving on to a team that I thought did better. What do you think about the Steelers?
Hey, and I think that everybody liked their draft. I mean, it's hard not to like their draft. They got five awesome picks. And then I've heard good things about Corey Trice as well.
Yeah.
Broderick Jones, I mean, he's going to start at left tackle. Now, all of a sudden, and we've been talking the last couple of years how the Steelers' offensive line have been in decline, and but they've really gone out to replenish that. And I think now they have a chance to field five solid starters on the offensive line and all of a sudden have like a top 12 offensive line. And Broderick Jones is going to start at left tackle day one for them. Joey Porter Jr., that was a guy that I felt like the media was higher on than the NFL. He winds up falling out of the first round. They get him right at the top of the second, and you know, he's a big kind of stiff physical press corner. Well, he's going to go learn from, you know, one of the best press corners of all time in Patrick Peterson, starting immediately opposite him in the same secondary. Keanu Benton was a guy who had legitimate first round buzz. I want to say Jeremiah had him in the first round in his final mock or something like that. It sounds like that he was a steal where they got him at number 49, played nose tackle at Wisconsin, but I think that he can play like all over the defensive line. And then Darnell Washington fell due to the knee concerns. I think that he is going to be a great complement to Freiermuth, free up Freiermuth to do less blocking. Darnell Washington is going to be up there. And he's going to get people blocked and make the occasional play in the passing game. And Nick Herbig is one of these, you know, stud. He was a pass rusher for at Wisconsin. I think that he is going to. They had a kid come out who the Saints.
Leo Chenal, right?
Okay. Is that who I'm thinking of? They've had a couple of. Was
a different Nick, Wisconsin guy they sent off the edge.
Was it Nick Bon?
Oh yeah, yeah, Bon too. Yeah,
yeah. So they. I don't know. They have like a little bit of a history of like having dudes on the edge that might end up as off-ball linebackers. I don't know. The Steelers are going to figure that out. And then Allen Robinson is included in this haul as well. Although I don't know if he's a positive because he was like non-existent last year. But and then again, I've heard good things about Corey Trice as well. So I mean, they had an awesome draft. Like I don't.
For sure. Yeah. So they got one of my A pluses. They make seven picks. The first six of them, the last one was 241. They were all in my top 94 technically is where I had Corey Trice. And Corey Trice drops down a little bit because of these medical concerns that we don't know about. But like getting him at 241, who cares? Like bring him in. If his body betrays him, whatever, like for that price point, that is clearly worth it. And the aggressive move to go up and get Broderick Jones before the tackle drops off another tier. That was really inspired. Having Joey Porter Jr. fall, the symmetry is awesome. The value was fabulous. Like getting him in the second round. And he sort of like, it was that thing we were talking about before with the tight ends and the corner classes. Like he lost some decisions for teams where they went to another position, you know, in the first round, ends up pushing him to the top of the second. You love that story. Keanu Benton, an awesome value. Darnell Washington, an awesome value. Herbig, an awesome value. Trice, an awesome value. So the Steelers just absolutely knocked this one out of the park. Now we'll move to the Tennessee Titans. Evan, what'd you think about their draft?
C minus. You know, trading up for Levis, I guess it's fine. See, I was never big on Levis. Like, when I saw him play last year, I was really unimpressed with him. It's like he just struggled to move the offense. I don't know. Maybe it was supporting cast issues. But, I mean, I was like, wow, this guy is, like, supposed to be a first-round pick? I don't know about that. He wound up not being a first-round pick. And I guess you could say, oh, well, you know, he was mocked as high as number four. You know, they got it. Some people even had him number two. They got him at number 33. I don't know. I think that it was a second-round prospect. That's where he went. They had to trade up to go get him. They had to give up a 2024 third. And that could be a really high 2024 third. I don't know how good this team is going to be. They're well coached, and they seem to outkick their in terms of win-loss. Like they win more games than they should. I don't know. I think the bottom could fall out for him. Skoronski was a fine pick at number 11. I don't know where he's going to play. Are they going to put him at left tackle?
I don't know. I was curious about that too. Yeah.
They signed Andre Dillard, but Andre Dillard was terrible in Philadelphia. So I don't know. Are they going to start Andre Dillard at left tackle and then play their number 11 overall pick at guard? Tajay Spears, and it came out after the draft that his knees are all messed up. They took him in the third round. I don't know. I should have even given him a lower grade than C minus. I did not like this draft.
I was a little bit higher on it than you. Okay. Mostly because I really like the Skoronski pick, getting him at 11. We mentioned how the offensive line class drops off. I'm with you on Will Levis. I'm totally with you. But like at that position, you get to that price point, the juice worth the squeeze, maybe just to see what you got there. But yeah, like I share the trepidation that you do for sure on him. But like I was okay with it just contextually, as far as that stuff goes, taking the dice roll. I'm a huge fan of Tajay Spears. Will those knees hold up in the NFL? Long term, maybe not. A doctor would probably tell you maybe not. But like all I care about for the running backs, it's the rookie contract. So I think that they're going to get plenty of home runs out of that kid during the rookie contract. And I also like the Jalen Duncan pick at 186 just because this tackle class, we mentioned the lack of depth of it. And Jalen Duncan was sort of the one guy hanging around late, and the Titans go and pop him at a position of need. And I agree with you on the Skoronski thing. When they took him over Broderick, I was like, don't you all need a tackle more? Mm-hmm. But like, they needed overall offensive line help. So we'll see how it works out with Skoronski, but Duncan at least is a ball of clay. So I thought they did okay as far as that goes. And I hope Tajay Spears' knees hold up. Evan, I think we hit every team, didn't we?
Yes, sir.
I think we got them all. Yeah. I'm going to work on the alphabet when we get off the air, but that was a ton of fun. Yeah. My friend and former colleague, Evan Silva, thank you so much for joining me. For Evan, I am Thorne Eichstrom. Thank you for being with us on the last episode of the Fantasy Draft Special.
Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/Fantasy Pros.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. Pick up, pick up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way.
It's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.